This will be a, yes, a Father's Day message. But what I also realized was I didn't really do a Mother's Day message. So this is a Father's Mother's Day message. So this is for moms, too. Well, you know, you got to share. That's part of being a dad, right? We got to share. Ooh, that's a tough one sometimes, especially when it's your food. Yeah. Hey, let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, we should be thankful, Lord, for each and every breath you give us. We never want to take our lives lightly, so we thank you for them. We thank you, God, for Jesus Christ, your Son, who was sent to die for us so that, Lord, we could have forgiveness of sins, because we have this big sin problem in our lives, Father. We all do it. We all rebel against you. We've all sinned and fallen short of your glory. There is none of us righteous, God, not even one. And Father, your word tells us that the wages of our sin is death, and not just that physical death, but as we've said many times, spiritual death, eternal death, punishment, hell. But you so loved your creation that, Lord, you created a way that we could be forgiven and given that promise of eternal life. And it is through your Son and his death on the cross, his blood being shed, his body being broke, but then, Lord, miraculously raising from the dead 3 days later, which, Lord, gives us that promise that we too will have eternal life if we've believed. If we have believed on him, if we have trusted and placed our faith in Christ, your Son, and what he has done. And that's not really, it's not an act, Lord, in terms of something we do that brings about our salvation. No, Lord, we know that you called us to salvation long before we ever came running to you. And for that we are grateful. Lord, if there are any here that need to know your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Savior and Lord, I pray that, Lord, certainly by the end of our time here together worshiping you, that they will have done so. That they will just be bowled over by you and your Spirit with the tremendous love of God. Your love, Father, that we've sung about this morning. And how deep that love is. That, Father, there is nothing that any of us could do that would be so bad, that would be so dastardly, God, that you would not reach down and still forgive us. And, Lord, that is why we pray for ISIS. That is why we pray for this young man who killed these people. That is why we pray for then even, of course, our friends, neighbors, and family who need to be saved, God. Because, Lord, none of us are beyond saving. Because it's by your sovereign hand. And, Lord, you can do anything. You are much bigger and much greater than any sin we could possibly do. So, Lord, if there are those that need salvation, may they find it today. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for what we will be able to glean from it this morning, and especially in this area of our mothers and fathers. Lord, as a church family too, we just want to pray for one another. We know that there are those in our church family that need prayers of healing, that need prayers of faith, that need prayers of strength, that need prayers of encouragement, that need prayers of maybe they're in financial need, that need prayers of job needs, that whatever the case may be, Lord, there is nothing that we should hold back from you. We are to come to you with our needs and yes, our wants and our desires, and we know that they will be answered if it is indeed according to your will. And that's part of, Lord, that wonderful relationship that as believers, as Christians, we get to cultivate with you through the Spirit is growing close to you, God, and recognizing your will as being more prevalent in our life every day that we grow in Christ's likeness and sanctification, God. So that we get to that point, Lord, where we're praying those things that you are all ready to give us. Father, again, just open up our eyes and our hearts, our minds, our ears, that we would hear your word and seek to put it into practice. And we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. I used this one before a number of years ago, but I couldn't resist. What's the difference between Father's Day and Mother's Day? Father's Day is a lot cheaper. You ever notice that? It depends on the toys, as Cindy says. I'm wondering how things worked out between her and Cindy this go around. This is going to be for our young people. There were actually things in the past, young people, called telephones. No, they weren't called cell phones, telephones. In any case, there was a number of years ago when the Illinois Bell Telephone Company reported that the volume of long-distance calls, volume of long-distance calls made on Father's Day was growing faster than the number made on Mother's Day. Well, the company apologized for the delay in compiling the statistics, but explained that the extra billing of calls, they explained it to fathers, having slowed things down. Most of those calls were collect. You have to ask your parents what collect means, too. My wife pointed out, she goes, they're not going to know the kids aren't going to know the joke. All right, what famous person said this? When all is said, it is the mother and the mother only who is a better citizen than the soldier who fights for his country. The successful mother, the mother who does her part in rearing and training aright the boys and girls who are to be the men and women of the next generation, is of greater use to the community and occupies, if she would only realize it, a more honorable as well as more important position than any man in it. The mother is the one supreme asset of national life. She is more important by far than the successful statesman or businessman or artist or scientist. Anyone? Bully. Theodore Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt. Well, again, I know today's Father's Day, but we're not going to honor fathers today. We're going to honor fathers and mothers today. Okay? What does it mean to honor? In a simplest form, some other synonyms might be to esteem, to reverence, to revere, respect. And so today you will see from various texts in the Scripture 9 reasons why you should pay tribute to and honor your father and mother. Now, lest you think right now that I am talking to the kids. I am, but I'm also talking to all of us, all of you. Because everybody has a mom or a dad, and maybe yours are around, and maybe they're not anymore. Or maybe you can help to teach and train a young person in knowing why it's important to honor a mom or dad or grandfather or grandmother or great-grandfather or great-grandmother. So this is for everybody. And maybe for us adults who still have our fathers or mothers around, or grandfathers or grandmothers, etc., then even if we're in our adult years, might all of these things we're going to see from the Scriptures still apply about honoring your folks? Well, the first one of our 9 points is this. Fathers and mothers should be honored because, frankly, simply, it's commanded in the Scriptures. It's commanded in the Scriptures to honor them. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. Excuse me. almost back to 100%. I'm like at 95 right now. 95. This is the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, a very familiar passage of Scripture. And here we want to look at the fifth commandment. You probably already guessed what it is. The fifth commandment. This is in Exodus 20 and verse 12. Quite simply, honor your father and your mother. Now there's a little bit more to it, but just pause there for a moment. Honor your father and mother. I mean, it doesn't get much simpler or more clear cut than that, right? It's a command. God said it. He doesn't make mistakes. He's altogether perfect. So guess what? We do it. We do it. It's as simple as that. Now quickly notice there are two other things that this verse says, and also that it doesn't say. One, God gives a reason for honoring mom and dad. That's what's really awesome about God. There are times in His Word, man, He gives you a reason about something. Other times, maybe not. Maybe it's not so crystal clear right away. But in this case, bam, there it is. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Now, of course, for this, we have to remember the context. The context is the Israelites, and the Israelites eventually moving into the promised land. And here God directly equates the length of their life to honoring their parents. And in a little bit, we'll see in Ephesians 6:1 that along with extended life, honoring one's mom and dad will also cause things to go well for you. To be well for you. Well, these are great reasons to go ahead and honor your mother and father. Moses also reiterates the same command in Deuteronomy 5:16. Now, the flip side of this coin is found in the next chapter. You can turn there if you like. Exodus 21. And look in verses 15 and 17. Exodus 21 in verse 15. When God says through Moses, he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be sent to their room. He who strikes their father or mother shall surely, get a spanking. No, he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to what? Death. Verse 17, he who curses his father and his mother will surely be put to bed without their supper. No, even for cursing their mother or father, they shall surely be put to death. Deuteronomy 21, we see that habitually rebellious children were to be coddled and cooed at. No, they were to be stoned. Stoned. In other words, God takes the honoring of one's parents extremely seriously. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. Now, lest you say, but Pastor Jay, wait, hold on, time out. We're not under the Old Testament law anymore. Jesus came and fulfilled the law. Yes, true. But honor your father and mother is also something restated in the New Testament. In Ephesians 6, verses 2 to 3, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, hearkening back to Exodus, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Also Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord. So we see it all throughout the New Testament as well. Now notice, as I said, there what these commands of honoring parents is not saying. What it's not saying that you are to honor your folks only if they are great parents. It's not saying to honor them when you feel like it, or when you think they should be honored, or when they, you know, deserve to be honored. It's not saying to honor them only if they were perfect and did you no wrong in your life. It doesn't say honor them if they are sinless. No, you are told to honor them even though they are sinners. A lot of us may have beefs with our parents. And probably a lot may be justified. Maybe some of your parents did some horrible things. Maybe they did some of these horrible things directly to you. But the fact remains, God still commands you to honor them. And you think, wow. I mean, how do you do that? How do you do that? How do you honor somebody that you have zero respect for? And if you have zero respect for them, in all likelihood, it means that they probably never sought forgiveness by you or the Lord for some of these things they may have done, which probably also tells you something of, we might imagine, their heart condition, spiritually speaking, that they would most likely not be a believer if this were all the case. And if they were, you think they surely would have been repentant at some point. So let me ask you this. What condition were you and I in when God saved us? We were sinners. I mean, should God have had respect for you and I? Were we honoring material before God saved us? No, of course not. We were all wicked sinners, rebellious against God, and with absolutely no reason for Him to honor or respect us. And yet, what did He do? He extended His hand of grace and mercy to you. He gave you that which you did not deserve or earn, forgiveness and eternal life. And He kept back from you that which you did deserve and earn, punishment and eternal death. A verse I like to quote a lot is Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And right before that, in verse 6, Paul writes, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Man, we have trouble just, you know, forgiving each other for something done against us. And yet Christ would die for us, the ungodly. And so this is the Father and the Son's attitude toward you. Shouldn't you be able to honor even those parents then who have treated you wrongfully? Now you might also be thinking, okay, but I still got this why question. Why? Why would God want me to honor that kind of person? Oh, quite simply, the gospel. The gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ sent to save sinners. God extended His hand of grace and mercy to you in order to save you, to have fellowship with you, His creation, to make you one of His worshipers for all eternity, to give you as a bride to His Son, a worshiping gift to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then ultimately to be that gift that the Son would turn around and give back to the Father. In your sin, God showed favor towards you, forgiving you and granting you eternal bliss with He and His Son. And so, friends, it is for the same reason that you should honor your father or mother, even though you think maybe they don't deserve it. They deserve it for the sake of the gospel. By showing that parent the grace, mercy, and love that Christ has shown to you, by forgiving them and even honoring them. By doing those things, isn't it possible that God may use those things to even save them? Oh, I think so. That they may be blindsided, just bowled over by something that they didn't expect, because you're showing them something different than what the world would show them. You're showing them something that they never could have imagined, something heavenly, something divine. And God will use that to call them out of the darkness into His marvelous light. Believe it. Believe it. Well, let's switch gears just a little here. What if this is not the situation with you and your parents, but you are wondering how it is that you can You can put honoring mom and dad into practice. There's no major issue or beefs or what have you. Here's four quick ways. This is kind of our first point. It's kind of our longest one. But just here's four ways to simply put honoring them into practice. One, how about honoring your father and mother because they gave birth to you? Just as simple as that. I'm just going to let that one just stay right there. They gave birth to you. How about honoring your father and mother with your obedience? That Ephesians 6:1 verse again, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Meaning according to God's ways, and even when you don't like it or want to or feel like it. The only exception, the only time you don't have to obey them is when they tell you to do what? Sin. Then you would say, no, now I need to obey my Heavenly Father. I need to obey God's Word. And of course, as I've mentioned before, one of the ways that we have encouraged obedience in the realm of our parenting and with our kids is first-time obedience right away, all the way, meaning to completion, and also with a joyful heart, with a joyful heart. Thirdly, honor your father and mother with your words. Honor your father and mother with your words. Proverbs 30 and verse 11 says, there is a kind of man who curses his father and does not bless his mother. In other words, don't be like that kind of man, that kind of woman. That's the wrong kind. Exodus 21 and verse 17, he who curses his father or his mother, as we read earlier, shall surely be put to death. Whether at home or in public, what you say and how you say it matters. It reveals your heart. And lastly, in this vein, honor mom and dad with your respect. Honor them with your respect. This means to honor them with your attitude. With your attitude. Ezekiel 22 and verse 7, God, through the prophet Ezekiel, is speaking of the sins of Israel and says, they have treated father and mother lightly within you, meaning within Jerusalem. Father and mother were blown off, treated lightly, not given real serious consideration in how they were treated by their sons and daughters. So let me ask all of us, how do you treat your parents? Do you sometimes not take them seriously? Do you think that, you know, they just really don't know anything? They're stupid, they're behind the times. Just kind of, you know, blow them off. Roll your eyes at them. Oh. If any of you remember Proverbs 30 and verse 17, it says the eye, which can also include kind of the face, facial expression. The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will peck it out. And the young eagles will eat it. Are you one way in public and another way at home with your folks? Is your attitude only favorable when you want something? Do you reverence and respect them even when they tell you no? Do you reverence them even when being disciplined? Do you accept the discipline graciously, acknowledging that you are the one that sinned against them and God, and thus brought that punishment on yourself? Or do you throw a fit and say ugly things to them? Deuteronomy 27:16, cursed is he who dishonors his father or mother, and all the people shall say, amen. Now, for this next one, number two in our list, and again, these will start after this next one, they'll go a little quicker. Excuse me. For this next one, turn to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. We're looking at verses 22 to 25. Oh, you know what? I apologize. That was one I cut. So hold on to that thought. I just didn't get that out of there yet. Second point. We're actually going to go to a different passage. Fathers. Fathers should be honored because they are the God-ordained leaders of their families. So this is more pointed towards the fathers. They should be honored because they are the God-ordained leaders of their families. We're actually going to go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. As you're turning to Ephesians 5, you might remember too that when we go back to the book of Genesis, this is where we first see that God created the man first and then the woman. And He created the man first to cultivate certainly the garden and keep the garden, followed by then His woman coming to life and coming in to be His helpmate. In Ephesians, Paul instructs husbands to sacrificially love their wives. We don't want to miss that. They are to sacrificially love their wives, and also for wives to be subject to their husbands as to the Lord. In verse 23 of Ephesians 5, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, He Himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their husbands in everything." And we also see the same call to a husband and father's leadership of the family in Colossians 3:18 and 1 Peter 3:1-2. Now, fellas, this is no small order to fill. On top of leading with love, you must also be, quote, "one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity." That's in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4. You must not, quote, "exasperate your children" in Colossians 3 and verse 21. And you must not, quote, "not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord" in Ephesians 6, 4. So, all of you who have had a dad, you must recognize that this is God's call on their life. And dads, just because you are this ordained head of your family, it does not mean that you are to be a dictator, despot, tyrant, Grand Turk, sultan, sheikh, czar, kaiser, or Caesar. You are not to lord your authority over those under you. You are not there to oppress or terrorize or be the inquisitor, slave driver, or taskmaster in your family. Your job is to biblically lead your family. You are to follow the example of Christ and His Word and to lead in a loving and self-sacrificing way. Now, we recognize that probably for many or most, it's not easy to lead. And it's even tougher to lead well. So dad's the one responsible as maybe head coach over his team. He's there to be the chief provider. He's also responsible for the spiritual growth of his wife and kids. And as with any head coach, maybe the dad gets, some credit if the team does well. But most certainly, they will always get the blame if the team fails, to use a sports analogy. And it's the same way in the family. It will be dad who will take the rap if the team isn't doing so good. He's the one held accountable by God if things are falling apart. In dad's case, he answers to his father, the father. So family, encourage dad by honoring him. Maybe he even deserves that honor in the attempt, because we know we're all still sinners. Number three, fathers and mothers who fear the Lord should be honored. Fathers and mothers who fear the Lord should be honored. Now, the book of Proverbs says that the fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom in 15:33. It's the beginning of knowledge in chapter 1, verse 7. And these are helpful things for moms and dads who want to do right by the Lord in raising their kids. more directly to fathers is Proverbs 14:26, which says, "In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and His children will have refuge." And maybe more directly to mothers would be Proverbs 31 and verse 30, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be what? Blessed, praised. She shall be praised." Solomon wraps it up well in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 to 14, when he writes the conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep His commandments. Because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Number four, fathers and mothers should be honored because they teach their children to love God and His Word. Fathers and mothers should be honored because they teach their children to love God and His Word. In Proverbs 22 and verse 6, it's that classic passage that says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." So the first and foremost important step to training up a child in the ways of the Lord is to teach them to love the Lord, to love God, and to love His Word. Newsflash for you parents. The church is not the one primarily responsible for teaching your children about God. You are. The preacher, the Sunday school teachers, the children's church, Awana, VBS, and youth leaders are also not primarily responsible for teaching your children about God. You are. Remember Ephesians 6 and verse 4. "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Meaning, if you aren't raising them God's way, then you are raising them in a worldly, man-centered way, and this will cause them to be provoked to anger, because the world's way is not the best way. In fact, it's a very bad way. This is why Timothy's mom and grandmother were commended by the Apostle Paul. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, when he writes to Timothy, he says, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that it is in you as well." Why? Because they were the ones that taught it to Timothy. They took care and pains to teach it to Timothy. In Proverbs 6 and verse 20, it says, "My son," we could also put in there, "daughter, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother." Do not forsake it. Earl read this morning Deuteronomy 6 verses, from 1 to, I think, 9. But just in that section there was, you know, when Moses is talking about the Word of God being taught to the children, he said, "These words I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." The point here being that, yes, every which way throughout the course of the day, evening, night, what have you, you should be teaching your children the Word of God and to love God. Whether it's that you take them with you at work, or whether it's that, you know, around the dinner table or at lunchtime or in the morning or when you're with them or when you're playing or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's never not a time that you shouldn't be teaching and training them. Now, there's a lot of things that families can spend their time on. And how much of that involves the teaching and training of your children in the Word of God is a question we might ask. It's all about priorities, right? It is. It's all about priorities. We make time for the things that are important to us. The point of Deuteronomy is that your teaching and training of your children doesn't just happen once a day at your family devotions. It should be the overall thrust and purpose of your child raising. It is to infiltrate all aspects of your family's life. I know, easier said than done sometimes. But that's the truth of the matter. We went to this wedding. We weren't going to be able to go because of family camp, and that just kind of folded. We were able to go. We have friends over in Bernie. Actually, Henry Winkleman. Henry is a pastor who came and did our Valentine's banquet a number of years ago. And we have some other friends, the Hathaways, and they go to church at Henry's church. And my folks know the Hathaways. My dad works for them, et cetera, et cetera. And we're invited to this wedding. Both of them have fairly large families. And it was the sons and daughters in both families that made up the wedding party. And they brought them all out during the reception to all have be able to say a word to the bride and the groom. And it was just a really awesome thing to see. Because, you know, it wasn't one of these weddings where you go to and people are half drunk and, you know, the best man's up there trying to make funny jokes about, you know, the wedding couple and you're kind of cringing and going, what are they saying? These were all young people, probably from the ages of, say, 13 or 14 on up to young adults who obviously all just knew and loved the Lord. And the things that came out of their mouths is one by one, they talked to the bride and groom were just things that would honor the Lord and that would bring glory to God and that would bless this young couple in the ways of the Lord. And I just thought, what a neat thing. What a neat and beautiful thing. That's the way it should be. Parents, you are the number one influence in your children's lives. At least you should be. If you're not, then something's out of whack. Show them the love of God. Teach them about Jesus Christ. Instruct them in the Scriptures, God's holy word. Yes, catechize them. Teach them sound doctrine. If these things don't come from you, where are they going to come from? I'll tell you where their teaching is going to come from. It's going to come from the world. No doubt about it. It will come from the world, and it won't be the godly things that you might have desired for them. Mom and dad, grandparents, great-grandparents, every day in every way, you need to be filling the hearts of these young ones and minds with the Word of God. You need to help them develop a biblical worldview. See every experience in your lives as a teaching opportunity for them and with them. And you who are children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren, you need to honor your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, whoever took care of you for having instructed and taught you in the ways of God. Honor them with your listening ears. Now, along with teaching and instructing, number five, fathers and mothers should be honored for being godly examples to their children. Fathers and mothers should be honored for being godly examples to their children. Jesus spoke of following His example. He wanted the disciples to follow His example. Paul speaks of walking as He walked. And they both meant in godliness. The two greatest commands for anyone to abide are love who? Go ahead. God and love others, other people. And naturally, you as Christian parents and grandparents should be modeling those two commands, the two greatest commands for your children. Moms, dads, grandparents, you are not just to teach and instruct, but you are to live a godly life in front of your kids and grandkids. Not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. And I will be the first one to stand up here and say, I fail and I fail and I fail many times over. Doesn't mean that's not still the call in our lives to do these. In this sense, it's an honor that we might say that we have to earn. It's an honor to earn. There's a great story of a Christian man who recalled attending a Rotary meeting in Illinois. This is around the turn of the century. Now, I don't know if you say the turn of the 20th century, you're supposed to say the turn of the 19th century. I mean the 1800s going into the 1900s, that turn of the century. I started writing that. I thought, gosh, now we're way into the 20s, so do we have to, you know, say which century? But in any case, a Rotary meeting in Illinois, turn of the century, and he's with his friend, British evangelist, an early member of the Salvation Army, Rodney Gypsy Smith. That was the name he went by, Gypsy, J-I-P-S-Y. And he says, I was sitting next to him at the speaker's table. When suddenly, that's back when, yes, well, actually, no, I'll say pastors are invited to our Rotary here. Praise the Lord. So that's still happening, at least in our Rotary, that a pastor would be invited to speak. But he says, I was sitting next to him at the speaker's table when suddenly, just before he arose to speak, he asked me to carefully mark his closing words. And when the moment arrived, he lifted high his well-worn Bible and he said, how many of you can recall a saintly mother or a godly father who loved this book, who read it, lived it, and it seeped into you? And he said, practically the entire group, with moist eyes, raised their hands. Then quietly, Gypsy swung home deftly this shaft. With all your influence today, how many of you are so living that your children will remember you for your faithfulness to this same book? It was a tense moment. He said, I felt the impact more than Gypsy did, for I knew a few there whose children are today's problem. No hand was raised. Do you want honor from your children? Then you must live out a godly life in front of them. They must see your faith in action daily. If they don't see that, you have a deep and passionate love for God and His Son and His Word and the people of God and the church and serving, can you really expect them to? Number 6. Fathers and mothers should be honored because they discipline their children. Fathers and mothers should be honored because they discipline their children. Here's some kind of poignant and somewhat entertaining quotes from some different people. One person said, everything else in the modern home is now controlled by the flick of a switch. Why not the children? The time to start correcting the children is before they start correcting you. The thing that impresses me the most about America is the way parents obey their children, said the Duke of Wellington. You cannot change your ancestors, but you can do something about your descendants. Did you know that you disciplining your children, the scriptures tell us, actually demonstrates your love for your kids? Proverbs 13 and verse 24, he who withholds the rod, that is, he who withholds corporal punishment from his son, he who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. And yes, it is referring to corporal punishment there. I'm not saying that that's the only punishment we use. We use different kinds of punishment, but that's what the author is referring to. In addition, discipline drives out foolishness of the child. Proverbs 22 and verse 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will remove it far from him. Discipline also invites wisdom. Proverbs 29 and verse 15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. Kids, youth, listen to that again. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. Discipline will help deliver your souls. Proverbs 23, verses 13 to 14 says, do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. You shall strike him with the rod and rescue his soul from Sheol. Sheol's that Hebrew word for the place of death. In this case, it has more of a reference towards even hell. Now, just to clarify, this verse is not saying that you are saved if you get disciplined. It is saying that discipline will teach a godly understanding of right from wrong and will help one avoid an untimely or premature death due to one's waywardness and sin. And remember, too, what used to happen to rebellious children in worst-case scenarios. Death. There's a Vancouver paper. The Vancouver province reported at one time this great story of a woman named Mrs. Morris, who, while in court up there in Canada, paid a traffic fine for her 18-year-old son and then drew back her right hand and gave him a resounding smack. Magistrate Charles Solomon appeared startled at first, but quickly recovered himself and broke into a grin. "Madam," he says, "that calls for a reduction in the fine." "Oh, that's nothing," replied Mrs. Morris. "You just wait till I get him home." Many of us saw on the news when the Baltimore fiasco riots were going on that one mother that caught her son out there wreaking havoc and terror. Ran after him, smacking him, "You get home," you know. And then they appeared on all the news programs, and it seemed that he was repentant, but, you know, praise God for moms that are willing to step out and, you know, dads, and grab their kids and not spare the rod. Someone once said, "It is easier and better to build boys," we could also put girls in there, "but it's easier and better to build boys than to repair men." Get them while they are like clay, putty in your hands to mold and shape. Because that clay, that putty, guess what? It's going to start getting harder and harder and harder. And it's not to say that when they're older or in their teen years or whatever, that you don't still try to mold and shape. You might need a jackhammer first. But it's going to be a lot easier to do it while they're young. Fathers and mothers, number 7, should be honored by your righteous living, children. And again, I'm talking to older children too. Adult children. Fathers and mothers should be honored by your righteous living. Proverbs 23, verses 24 to 25. This is that one I was going to have you turn to. But it says, "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wise son will be glad in him." Oh, let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Again, why? Because the son is wise, the daughter is wise. Why are they wise? Because they are following in the ways of the Lord. Of course, God the Father said to Jesus, "You are my beloved son, in you I am well pleased." Why? Because Jesus was obedient to the Father. Because Jesus honored the Father. As sons and daughters, do you bring honor to your folks by your godly living? Do you honor them through your reputation? Of course, this is much more of a deal in a small town here, such as Weaverville maybe, where everybody knows everybody, isn't it? For our youth that are in school, let me ask you, are you a credit to your parents in how you conduct yourself at school? How you walk, talk, dress, act? Do your teachers give good reports to your folks concerning your godly behavior? How do you act and speak when you are not around your folks? Number 8, fathers and mothers should be honored because they provide for their families. They provide for their families. While fathers, scripturally speaking, are to be the primary providers for their families, this doesn't preclude mothers from helping out. First, fathers, we see back in Genesis 2 and verse 15, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate and keep it." To cultivate and keep it. To work. He is to work for provision. Genesis 3, 17 to 19. "Then the curses that would come for fallen man, Adam and Eve there, and all of mankind, cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life." Then in verse 19, "By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground." Again, just a reiteration that the man will be the primary worker to provide. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, this is the context of sons caring for their widowed mothers. Sons caring for them. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And now regarding mothers, Proverbs 31 is a great section. Speaks of mothers working with their hands, making clothing for their families, as well as making clothes for sale, making and preparing food, even buying property and planting a vineyard. She often works long hours into the night and is not idle. The section ends with Proverbs 31, verse 28. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also. And he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. In verse 31, give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Youth, your moms and dads, and older youth and senior saints, your moms and dads work hard for you, have worked hard for you. Honor them. Honor them. And number 9 and lastly, fathers and mothers should be honored by their children taking care of them. Fathers and mothers should be honored by their children taking care of them. This is an excuse for a freeloading 40-year-old to move back in with mom and dad. This is recognizing when you need to give back to your mom and dad by helping them when their needs arise. In John chapter 19, verses 25 to 27, this is the crucifixion of Christ. And it says, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother, Mary, of course, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, those of you in that Sunday school class, who is it? John. Standing nearby, he said to his mother, while he is on the cross, he said, woman, behold your son. And then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple, John, took her into his own household. Whether our folks need financial help, or even just things done around the house because maybe they are older now, or they need some kindness or encouragement. Maybe they just need a listening ear or a loving son, daughter, grandson, granddaughter, great-grandson, great-granddaughter to just stop by and say hi. Or pick up the phone and say, hey, I was thinking about you and just wanted to call and say hello. There's a great book called I'll Love You Forever. How many know that book? Yeah, it's a tearjerker if you've read it. It talks about the mom having the son in the book, if I remember right. Yeah, and she has this little mantra of loving her child, and I love you forever, and I don't remember. I should have written it down. And I love you for, I did write it down. There you go. She always says, she does whatever for the son, and then talks about how she goes into his room every night when little infant, you know, baby in the crib, and on up, teenage years, and will say to them, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby, you'll be. And then it talks about how now the son is older and out of the house and is away at school, and she'll even creep down to his school and the college and go into his dorm room and say those words while he is sleeping. I'll love you forever. I like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby, you'll be. Sandy has even been caught at her son's barracks crawling in and saying these. And then, of course, he's even married and he's an older person. And she says these same things until finally she's too old to go to him. And so what does the son do? But he shows up to his mother and cradles her now old in his arms and says, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my mother you'll be. That's the attitude, right? That's the attitude we need to have with our folks. Honor your fathers and mothers by taking care of them. So fathers and mothers should be honored because it's commanded in the Scriptures. They should be honored because they are God-ordained leaders of their families. They should, those who fear the Lord should be honored. They should be honored because they teach their children to love God and His Word. They should be honored for being godly examples to their children. They should be honored because they discipline their children. They should be honored because they provide for their children. They should be honored by their children's righteous living. And fathers and mothers should be honored by their children taking care of them when the need arises. So, go and honor your father and mother, grandpa, grandma, great-grandma, great-grandpa. And maybe if they're not around, just give glory to God for them. Amen. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for our church family, our church body. We thank you, Lord, for the word that we have heard today about fathers and mothers and how we are to honor them. Help us all to do this in the ways that you prescribe in your word so that, Lord, glory will come to you. We will recognize just the way that you would have us do things in the lives of our families so that, Lord, your glory can be put on display. And again, as the world would look in and peer in to our individual lives and our families' lives, whether it's co-workers or whether it's friends around town or whether it's at the grocery store, whether it's at the library or the post office or the coffee shop, wherever, God, that the world will see something different because of the way we are honoring moms and dads. I am convinced, Lord, that that will absolutely be the case. And another good reason for doing it. Again, we pray for any here, Lord, that maybe have yet to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that they would walk out of here having confessed with their mouths and believed in their hearts that He is Lord. We pray this all in your Son's name. Amen. Have a wonderful Father's Day and Mother's Day.